Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kvachit chandar duraplavar dvidhaya rupahashakai kadachit sandalo sandalikaya kachin nipachestaya kachit Chadar Duraplavair Vividhaya Rupahashakaya Kadachit Sandalikaya Karachin Rupacheshtaya Kvachit, sometimes, cha and dardara, like frogs, plavai, with jumping, vividhai, various, upahashakai, with jokes, kadachit, sometimes, sandalokya, sandalikaya. Sandalika, with riding on swings. Karachit, and sometimes, Nripacheshtaya, with pretending to be kings. Translation. They would sometimes jump around like frogs, sometimes play various jokes, sometimes ride in swings, sometimes imitate monarchs. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the word Nipacheshtaya as follows. In Vrindavan, there was a particular place on the riverbank where people who wanted to cross the Yamuna would pay a small tax. At times, the coward boys would assemble in this area and prevent the young girls of Vrindavan from crossing the river, insisting that they had to pay a customs duty first. Such activities were full of joking and laughter. So, 16. We're going to go up to 19, right? Evam tau loka siddha bhi krida bhi ischeratur bane nadyadri droni kunjeshu kananeshu sarashu cha. In this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered around the rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan. 17. Pashum charayator gopaish. Tadvane Ramakrishnayo. Goparupi pralambogad. Asuras tajihirshaya. While Rama and Krishna and their cowherd friends were thus tending the cows in that Vrindavan forest, the demon Palamba entered their midst. He had assumed the form of a cowherd boy with the intention of kidnapping Krishna and Balaram. 18. Having described how Krishna and Balaram acted just like ordinary boys, Shukadeva Goswami will now reveal one of the Lord's transcendental pastimes that is beyond the range of human activity. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the demon Palamba disguised himself as a particular coward boy who had on that day had remained at home with duties to perform. 18. Tambidbanapi Dasaho. Bhagavan Sarvadarshana. Anvamodata Tatsakyam. Badhang tasya vichintayan. Translation: since the Supreme Lord Krishna, who had appeared in the Dashaha dynasty, sees everything, he understood who the demon was. Still, the Lord pretended to accept the demon as a friend, while at the same time seriously considering how to kill him. 19, still, right? Yeah. Tetro pahuya gopalan Krishna praha viharavit He gopa viharishyamo Vandvi bhuya yata yatam Vandvi bhuya yata yatam. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the coward boys and spoke as follows. Hey, coward boys, let's play now. Like they weren't playing before or something. We'll divide ourselves into two even teams. Tvandibhuya. Your purport. The word yata yatang means that Krishna naturally wanted the two teams to be evenly matched so that there would be a good game. In addition to the pleasure of sporting, the purpose of the game was to kill the demon Palamba. Om Gyanata Marandasya Ghananjana Shalaka Chakshuram Raitang Vyanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So, first thing was 15 kvachcha, dadura. They sometimes leap around like frogs, sometimes play various jokes, sometimes ride in swings, sometimes imitate monarchs. So the word here is Nripachestaya, a particular place in them. This is a famous pastime, especially Krishna would taxes Radharani. This is an eternal pastime. And Dhanakeli it's called. So there's actually so many times Rupa Goswami wrote about this. And Kavi Kanapur has written about it. Many great poets in our Vaishnava line have written various slightly different versions of that pastime also, where the Krishna and his friends are taxing. I tax you because you have taxing Radharani because she has beautiful eyes and beautiful clothes, and therefore you have to pay so much tax. So this is a kind of increasing ecstasy, the more you hear about that. transcendental ecstasy. But generally, this pastime is about the cowboys, but this even mentions here the young girls of Vrindavan were crossing the river. Sometimes Krishna impersonates a boatman. I think we read the Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He wrote one whole little book about that. That Krishna goes in the boat and he impersonates a boatman, and the boat starts sinking, and they have to. It's funny because Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead wouldn't speak of an ordinary king, but he's imitating a king. Yashava Taraguna Karma Vidambanani. That one verse we read here in the 10th canto, but another one by Lord Brahma, where it's Yashava Taraguna Karma Vidambanani, that Krishna, his activities are mysterious imitations of ordinary things. He's acting like a coward boy, now he's imitating a king. Then if you read that he's in Dwarka, what in Vaikuntha, but even in Dwarka, he's such a big king and he's surrounded by all the, in eternal Dwarka, then there's Ugrasena, his grandfather. He's actual king, but Krishna's the king even, anyway. And on his sides, he's got Balaram on one side, Akrura, and Uddhava's massaging his feet. And all the eternal 16,000 queens are there, and they all have their own palaces. And even though he's acting like such a big king, then when Sanatana Goswami said when Gopa Kumar came into the assembly, he had gone through so many places throughout the universe, and Vaikuntha and Ayodhya and many places. Still, he was so impressed with Krishna. I mean, Krishna was so impressed. Because he saw Gopa Kumar was a coward boy and he was feeling like so much separation from Vrindavan. So even if Krishna takes the role of a king of Dwarka, he's still always after going back with the gopis. And he took Gopa Kumar's flute even, and he was holding it in ecstasy, because in Dwarka Krishna doesn't get a chance to play flute and associate with the gopis and the coward boys, and there's so much in ecstasy. So these are actually, we're reading what, even if he's acting like the king, and Dwarka, the greatest king, still he wants to go back to Vrindavan. Like Radharani, when she saw, wow, somebody has a Pepsi Cola factory in their pocket. I remember when I was a kid, they took us to a Pepsi Cola factory. At least they didn't go to a slaughterhouse. But somebody told me the other day they had to go to a slaughterhouse. Who was that? When they were in school. As an outing, an excursion, what do they call it, when they go to places. Nowadays, we just have our own Pepsi Cola factory in our pocket, you know. Ugra noises. It's funny. So here, always this joking going on. Upahashakai. So the Vaishnava Acharya is there, so expert, they've given. See, the frogs are croaking the dardara kaiva. Is it bile bhaturu krama vikramanyena shinvita karnabhute narasya? Sukadev Goswami is describing how when in the material world people are speaking, they're not speaking any Krishna katha. Whenever we're speaking non-Krishna, we know, we can always hear these verses echoing in our head that we're dardara kaiva. We're speaking like frogs, croaking like frogs. Of course, when you croak like a frog, then the snake of time comes and finishes you off. Dadara Kaiva. And they're jumping like frogs. So, but the Vaishnava Acharyas have described like Rupa Goswami in such detail, smiling and the different phases of happiness. These are the Sanchari Bhav, like you're, this is not a main feature, but this is mixing with all the different rasas in the spiritual world. Always is laughing and joking. Not always, but it's so common. Especially with some like Madhu Mangal. If you, there always is pastime of Madhu Mangal. If you give me so many ladu, then I'll do this, I'll do that. It's very funny. Never tired. Just like even Prabhupada would joke, but his jokes are such that if we hear it again and again, we never get tired of hearing that joke. It's not even. Most people might not find it funny, but devotees, I find it extremely amusing, always, increasingly. Just like Prabhupada would say sometimes, about the scientists or politicians in general, he would say, they're not even worthy to be kicked. So if you hear him say it, of course we could imitate it, but it doesn't have the same type of potency. But you can play that all day, Prabhupada saying that. I don't recommend that, but might want to chant Hare Krishna and listen to a bhajan. But still, after 40, 50 years, if you hear that your whole life, Prabhupada saying, they're not even worthy to be kicked, it's actually funny. I mean, come on. You wouldn't even, like, they should be kicked, beaten, whatever, maybe, you know, something much worse. But still, Prabhupada said, they're not worthy to be kicked. Not worthy to be kicked. Very funny. And he had very funny things that he said many times like that. Because Prabhupada had this mood, spiritual mood, that his jokes are not ordinary jokes. Sometimes people, like a stand-up comic, in my case, I'm a sit-down comic, but stand-up comics, they have to come up with newer and newer jokes all the time. If you don't have newer jokes and you're out, then new guys come, young guys. But then the really good ones, they always come up with new stuff. They're 80 years old, they're still cracking crazy, stupid jokes. But it has to be new jokes. And if you see it again, like let's say they do it once, and then you see it, and the people walk out, they go, oh, I don't want to hear that joke, I heard that joke already. But in the spiritual world, his jokes are ever fresh. Like, just like Prabhupada, he can say something, you hear it again. You hear it and you say, oh my God, that's funny, you know. It's so funny, and Prabhupada said that. Just like one sannyasi was asking Prabhupada on a morning walk about the young Brahmin and the older Brahmin. They were going in the Sakshi Gopal story. So this sannyasi was very serious. So he wanted to know if this young Brahmin was with the old Brahmin, and the old Brahmin promised the daughter, if he's a Brahmin, why would he care to even try to get, of course, the whole story, maybe he didn't know the whole story in those days, but the whole idea that the young Brahmin wanted to uphold the religious principles, and because this vow was taken in front of the deity, and not only for the older Brahmin, for himself, everything, just to uphold the religious principles. He wasn't attached to that wife, but he kept asking the question, the sannyasi kept asking Prabhupada 3-4 times. Why do you care about the Brahmin? Why do you care about a wife, Prabhupada? If he's Brahmin, why would he care? So Prabhupada said, there's nothing wrong with marriage. Only you could not marry. You are too ugly. And everyone immediately, like as soon as Prabhupada says it, if you hear it's a morning walk, you know, everyone is laughing, screaming in ecstasy. It's a laughing ecstasy. You know, ah. So it's always funny if you hear that again and again. It's ever increasing. Just like when you describe in Krishna Karnamrita how Krishna, his cheeks are so beautiful and his face is so effulgent, his lips are just... And practically that Bilva Mangala Thakur, the verses are in Sanskrit, of course, they're amazing. I mean, Bilva Mangala Thakur, Lord Chaitanya used to listen to that. So... Who are we not to listen to it? But it's only like 100 and a few verses, but some of them we have in Chaitanya Charita. Madaram, madaram, vaparashi vibho. Anyway, it's ever increasing. You can hear that again and again. The slokas. But even the English, you hear it. But he's saying similar things, like Krishna's face is so effulgent, and saying in slightly different, beautiful ways. And it's ever increasing, just like Prabhupada, even I read recently, he said, the business of the Krishna consciousness, especially the devotees, the sannyasis, is to propagate my books and to leave other books. Because there's always controversy comes, maybe at the end of the class for 6-7 more hours. Whoa, should we just stick to Prabhupada? Prabhupada said right there that there should be more books. Now, whether they're good books, that's another thing, but he did say that there should be more books. Increasing. Vivar Dhamam means increasing. Chaita Darpana Marjanam Pratipadam Purnam Vidisvadanam. It's increasing, the ocean of nectar. So in the spiritual world, it's not dry, like some stand-up comic, and he has to say something and figure out. If he's good, he can say a new joke, but it's all rehearsed. But someone who's expert, of course, he's spontaneous. So So in the spiritual world, everyone has this mood, especially this. Krishna is just captivating everyone with his joking words. Of course, he's the supreme joker. No one can top Krishna. And Krishna is actually joking through everyone else. They appear to be joking, but who's writing their real material? So next verse says, in this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered. We heard yesterday, he was talking about the famous games they're throwing, you know, fruits and... Well, they didn't have manufacturing companies to make all kinds of balls, golf balls. And they didn't have caddies and golf carts and holes with chemicals to make special lawns with their playing in it. Obstacle courses. In this way, Krishna Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered among the rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan. Rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan. So that's fun by itself. If you were just wandering in the hills, and you can sometimes slide down on the hill, and you just... When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going in the Jarikanda and traveling throughout, he was so much in ecstasy. All the nice rivers and streams, waterfalls, some of them very warm. But he was also very detached. Even when Balabhadra Bhattacharya had kept a stash of food, he chastised him. He said, no, you don't keep anything. Don't keep anything. So sannyasi is detached. So this, in those days, there was not too much pollution, except the Kaliya Lake was a bad lake. But the rest of these lakes and the rivers, hills, valleys. While Rama and Krishna and their cowherd friends were thus tending the cows in that Vrindavan forest, the demon Pralamba entered their midst. He had assumed the form of a cowherd boy with the intention of kidnapping Krishna Balaram. So that might not be an easy job to kidnap Krishna and Balaram. Remember, Lord Chaitanya was kidnapped by these thieves. The thieves were kind of messed up after a while. And he was just a little kid, like 2 years old. And everyone was freaking out in Lord Chaitanya's house, Nimata Sachi, Jagat Misha, screaming, crying, where is Nimai? Where is Nimai? Can you just imagine? If Nimai is your son and he's gone, whoa, you would definitely be feeling some pain, some anxiety. Anybody is feeling anxiety if their kid is missing. But those thieves, he was all dressed up in jewels, so they took him on the back, and it was a very nice, relief diorama in Mayapur like that, where they had taking all these. They did a really good job in those. And next thing you know, they end up right in front of Nimai's house again. And they were like, how do we get here? Nimai just and they just put him down and laughed to say this. We didn't want to get caught doing something. Having described Krishna Balaram acting like ordinary boys, he will now reveal one of the Lord's transcendental pastimes, which is beyond the range of human activity. Since the Supreme Lord Krishna, who had appeared in the Dasara dynasty, sees everything, Bhagavan Sarvadarshana, see, Sukadeva Goswami is so poetic. He could use any name. Krishna has so many names. Dasarho, and then the next line, Bhagavan Sarvadarshana. The Sanskrit ornamentation is Tamvidbam, knowing quite well. Upi, certainly, even though Dasarho, Bhagavan Sarvadarshana. Sarvadarshana, he sees everything. Omniscient. Anvamodata. Tatsakyam. He accepted him as a friend. Vadam tasya vichintayan. Vadam means to kill. Vichintayan, he's meditating now. I wonder how I'll kill this guy. But Krishna doesn't, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, he doesn't have to make any separate endeavor. How, you know, like, wow, if we had this big demon coming here or something, like, we have to make a separate endeavor to figure out what to do, you know. But Krishna's just having good fun. He's making fun of the whole thing. It's all just in a day's work. Every day he's killing so many of these guys. Every week, just like, no big deal. Sometimes these coward boys don't even know what's, you know, some of them see some pastimes, some see others. But Krishna is Sarvadarshan. He's seeing always. Upadrashtanu manta cha. Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter. He is the total seer of everything. Upadrashtanu manta cha upadrashta. He's seeing everything. Upa, above, up. This word up comes from upa, upper. So he's above and within, without, andantarasta paramano chantarastam, in every atom, and he's controlling effortlessly with no problem. Upadrashta anumanta cha, and he's permitting anumanta cha. Anumodita, he accepted this. Oh yeah, okay, he's a demon. Upadrashta anumanta cha, Bharta Bhokta Maheshvara, he's the maintainer, Bharta Bhokta, he's the enjoyer. Bhokta Ram Yagatapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshvara. Everything has to go through Krishna first. Prabhupada would say that as soon as you're seeing, but you should know that Krishna is already seeing first. When we're eating, like somebody, let's say we're eating, especially here we don't eat like civilized people, but when you sit next to somebody, like in India, people you serve out, you know, like that. Now standing in line, of course, not everywhere, but sitting down and getting served, that's the proper way. But if you're sitting next to someone, and if he picks up the food, and you can go and take the food like that, eat out of, or if you pick it up, he can eat it out of your hand, but that doesn't usually happen. But in other words, you eat with your hand. So, but we should think that this hand is actually a foreign hand. It's actually Krishna's hand, and I'm just borrowing this hand. Krishna's, that's what Prabhupada said. You should think this is Krishna's hand that's feeding me also. Sarvata panipadam tat sarvakshoshi, what is it? Sarvatokshi shirom kam, that sarvata shutima loke, sarvam avritya tishtati. Everywhere is hands and legs. So everywhere is hands and legs means including our hands and legs too. Krishna's hands and legs. So this demon, he's also part of Krishna, so Krishna knows what he's up to. It's not a problem for him. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the coward boys and spoke as follows. Hey Gopa. There's one prayer in Kulashekar. Hey Gopa, like, hey. Hey Govinda, hey Gopal. When you're calling, we say that also here in England, in English. Hey, oh. Hey Gopa, Vahrishyama, let's play. They're just going to start playing again. It's always new. It's always a new game. It's always fun. Krishna always looks different. He's ever fresh. Navayovanam cha. He's ever new, fresh. The boys also. Yatam means they naturally wanted the two teams to be evenly matched so there'd be a good game. Otherwise, it's not a very good game when it's not matched. Like when Krishna and Balaram went into the wrestling arena, Malanam Asanir Ninam, Nalavara, with the wrestlers. Then all the bridge bossies were crying, this is not fair. Big wrestlers, look at that. Oh, especially the women were freaking out. Everybody was freaking out. Little Krishna and Balaram, they're going to fight with these huge guys, like 600-pound wrestlers, 7'5" or something, you know. And we have big guys now. They don't think they didn't have big guys. Like, Kamsa had probably the biggest guys wrestlers, right? Huge guys, like 7'10" or something. Big monster guys. And Krishna and Balaram, everyone was saying, this is not fair. What is it, Chanoran Mustika? These, all the principles of religion are finished now. You can. They were thinking that Krishna and Balaram were outmatched, but it was the other way around. So the purpose of the game was to kill the demon Pralamba. So, just like Prabhupada, when he was sitting very relaxed one time in Mayapur, devotees were saying, you know, these conversations in Mayapur are actually the best. I mean, they're all great, but the certain ones are even, I think it's because you hear the kirtan downstairs in the back. Prabhupada is so cool. So some devotees were saying, Prabhupada, you're smashing the Mayavadis and the scientists, and nobody's doing like that. And Prabhupada was sitting, you know, he always, like, he put his one leg up like this, and he would sit like with his arm on a pillow. He would always be very relaxed. And he said, that is our pleasure pastime. That is our pleasure pastime. So the same. Prabhupada took that as great sport to argue with all the nonsense rascals. Bring any nonsense rascal. But Prabhupada had adhikar. He had the potency. He had the power to do it. We can't always follow, try to do a little bit. But sometimes the firemen, they go for, put out a big fire, it explodes, and they're finished, or it's too hot. So we can't get too close to the fire. Or if you, example, if you go to catch the big fish, you get pulled in sometimes. You might catch a whale or something. If you touch the skunk, you might start stinking. But Prabhupada is always transcendental, pleasure pastime. Okay, so comments, questions here?
I'm not sure, but I heard devotees saying that some description from, I don't know which one, but they were saying that Krishna had 22 feet, he was 22 feet tall, and because you were mentioning 7 feet.
He was 2 feet tall?
22. And
ah,
was
I never
20.
Heard it, probably never
I heard
said.
Something like that.
It says average height many times, that he's just the average height, which maybe average was 22 well, feet that time, but I don't know.
In those days, people they were taller, right?
Could be, but.
Even Lord Chaitanya's time, because when the Spain people went to, came here, there's like a museum.
Who came here?
No, the Spain people, when they came to this side
in,
of...
Invade the South America and all that?
Yeah, yeah. They have a museum there in, like, let's say one of them, Dominican Republic, because they were established there. So they have all these bonds and, you know, the shoes, they were like really...
Really?
Huge.
The European people?
Yeah, when they came here, they were like, everybody was like 9 foot tall, you know.
Maybe, but I mean, they have this sword, even in Jaipur, these swords were the kings from 500 years ago. And you can't even lift the swords. And his guys were... But they were strong guys, too. And the sword, he can't even lift it. And they would swing it and cut people with it and ride a horse. And so, they were...
They have these,
but they're kshatriyas.
Yeah, but they have also, the same thing, like big ones, like unbelievable, you know. I mean, maybe five people, they can lift one.
The shoe?
Sword? No, I mean, all these things, yeah. All these,
like, it could be. But I won't, go with the 22-foot tall thing. And, not yet. When I become more advanced. I never heard Prabhupada say 20, they were 22 foot.
Well, at the end of Kali Yuga, if somebody's like 3 feet tall, it's going to be like a huge person. So it's like the Christian.
Well, we should stick around, then we'll be big time guys.
When Shiva was speaking to Parvati, he was explaining the ages, the symptoms, and the height, and the age, and everything. And he said like 22 cubits, 21 cubits for Satyug, 14 cubits for Dwarpa, for Treta, 7 cubits for Dwarpa, and 3.5 for Kali.
Well, what's a cubit? I can't remember.
A cubit is about like a foot and a half, roughly, you know. It's measured like from the hand to your finger.
Oh, from here to here. Because Lord Chaitanya is 7 cubits, right?
Yeah. Every time you hear about these demons, you hear they have like mystical powers. And they're supposed to be like the lowest of beings, but...
They're not. According to Fifth Canon, where there's a description of... The demons are higher than a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Real demons, not the small-time demons.
But they acquire these mystical powers, or they
But these are real demons. We're not talking about just demoniac people. There's a different type of demons. You know, if you read that fifth canon, I forget it, the chapter description, ghosts and the demons, they're higher than humans, but it means in a certain category of... Well, it's a certain category. We have to find the references. Five, somewhere in the Rishabhdev's teaching. 5.5 maybe.
Hare Krishna. Thanks for talking about Krishna's joking. It reminded me, I was staying in Ireland, someone's house, and I picked up a book off their shelf. It was a narration by an Irish school teacher that had been somewhere in the Middle East and got kidnapped. And 6 months after he was there, an English reporter that came to look for him also got kidnapped. They were prisoners for like 4 years, but they were always kept together. And one of the ways they kept their sanity was by constantly joking and teasing one another. You Irish, you English, like that. And at some point, I mean, it was a fascinating account, but at some point in the book, this man said, I am convinced that if there is a God, he must be first and foremost a comedian. And I thought, that's what, you know, the gopis tell Krishna. The only language Krishna understands is the language of joking. And I thought, just see how he got that realization.
He got it the hard way. Anyone else?
Many a truth is said in jest, but I was thinking that they were playing leapfrog. Is that what it was?
When
is
I don't know if that was mentioned today or...
I thought you said...
They had the swings.
It was the frogs. What were the frogs doing?
Yeah, they jump around.
Because that's still current.
Yeah.
So
it says they're well-known games.
Yeah, well-known.
It says they... which sloka says, Krishna Balan played all sorts of well-known... Let's see what the word is here. Loka Siddhabi means which are well known in human society. They've attained perfection in human. It's actually literally means by which, you know, everyone knows or something. Everyone knows about it. That they're Siddhabi seems to me means they're so popular that they're perfect or something for people to do. Siddhabi.
I remember that was a game I played when I was a kid. You played leapfrog. Put your one person down, you put your hands on there, and you jump.
We heard, and probably also mentioned, that some coal miners, they cracked open some coal, and then there was an account in Pennsylvania or somewhere, or Virginia, back in the 20s, where these coal miners were down like 3,000 feet, and they cracked open the coal, and frog jumped out. Like, the coal is always like millions of years old. Frogs, some mystic power, they can live. A suspended animation or something.
Turtles are like that too.
Don't try this at home.
And there's, it's...
Yeah, I mean, he wants to have the microphone real bad.
Speaking about jokes, I was listening to a lecture yesterday, and Prabhupada was saying... He was referring to somebody getting kicked in the face. He was saying kicked in the face by Maya.
The way he says it. There,
yeah, everyone.
You can't really say it the way.
Yeah.
Just like you might think Prabhupada's boasting, like he say sometimes they have to come and lick my boots, or, you know, does Prabhupada even wear boots? But he said, well, Prabhupada, what will these people do? How will they get delivered? They must lick my boots or something. Or he said about, like, when everybody's supposed to call each other Prabhu so that we stay humble and we accept everyone as a master. He said, not that I say, Prabhu, come here and brush my shoes. In other words, you're saying Prabhu, but if he's actually a master, you wouldn't be asking him to brush your shoes or anything like that. Come here and brush my shoes. Prabhu, come here and brush my shoes. It's funny. Prabhu coming out and brush my shoes. It's sarcasm. I mean, we've heard that, I don't know, Prabhupada's not sarcastic, but he was certainly, I heard him be real sarcastic many times. I mean, a lot of jokes are sarcastic things.
Transcendentally sarcastic.
I mean, when in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there's so much, you know, there's joking. Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya always joked, even as a householder, but never with any woman. Only one time he joked, and it wasn't even directly with his wife. It was something about Mother Sachi, and the prasadam was eaten, was offered, and it disappeared. And Mother Sachi was concerned, and Lord Chaitanya said, oh, it could be that, you know, Vishnu Priya took it or something. And Vishnu Priya was in the other room, and she was laughing to think that she would steal the prasadam, you know, off the altar or something like that. But it wasn't even directly to his wife. But Prabhupada said he was always joking, you know. Always joking. I mean, dead serious at the same time, but always joking at the same time. Anything else? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.